Dr. Sahail Inayatullah is a political scientist and visiting professor at Tamkang University, Taipei, a visiting academic at Queensland University of Technology, adjunct professor at the University of the Sunshine Coast, and professor of future studies with the International Management Centres Association. He is also a fellow of the World Futures Studies Federation and the World Academy of Art and Science. In 1999, he held the UNESCO chair at the Centre for European Studies, University of Trier in Germany. He's also co-editor of the Journal of Future Studies and associate editor of New Renaissance. In other words, he studies the future. Dr. Sahail Inayatullah, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks so much.
I want to start by asking you, what can we hope to gain from studying the future?
Well, partly it's we often buy other people's used futures. So we buy into a used future without considering our own authentic future. So one thing we can gain is we start to unpack the future we may not have thought about or we may have unconscious assumptions about.
Okay. How do we go about studying the future?
Well, there's a range of methods and concepts. The few I use, for example, the first thing is to map the future. What are the images that are pulling us forward? What are the pushes driving us? Demographic change, technological change, and what are the weights? What are the barriers to change? Now, most people focus on the pushes, the drivers, on technology, nanotech, for example, but less on the images. And these are the guiding imaginations, the visuals that almost are utopian. They pull us forward into a world that can be. So I would recommend in phase one to actually map the future, ask what are our main images, what's pushing us, and what are the barriers.
Can you give us some examples of what a weight of the future might be?
Well, it depends what image you have. If your image is sustainability, a green, multicultural, gender partnership, spiritual Australia, then a weight could be the federal government not signing Kyoto Protocol. A weight could be traditional views of males. A weight could be one culture dominating. So a weight could be institutional regulations that only have one way of knowing, or one cultural way of knowing, or one gender way of knowing. So the weight depends on really what you desire for the future. If your future is globalization, then your weight could be the local economy or the national economy.
What do some of these maps look like?
Well, what I try to do is just a simple triangle with some images on the top, pushes on one side of the bottom, and weights on the other side. But that's just one way. Once you start to map the future, then you have to think, what might disturb it? And the technique we use is called emerging issues analysis. So we're looking at what might be issues 5, 10, 15 years from now that might change our map of the future.
What are some emerging issues that you see now for us?
Well, I mean, it really depends on what field you're in. If you're in education, now there's some really good studies that regular meditation, for example, increases your well-being. There's some studies that show that it increases your IQ. So now, as a current issue, I can't imagine any Australian state Board of Education having every day, twice a day meditation for kids. But 10, 15 years, as more of the health research, the medical research shows us evidence of that, that's one possible emerging issue which starts to have us rethink how we consider intelligence, how we consider education.
Hmm. Well, let's move on to patterns of history. You've written about a number of patterns of history, and one of those is the linear progression, the idea that the future is bright. Is this a very Western way of looking at things?
It's tend to be associated with the Western, but of course most civilizations have that dimension too. Generally, if you see planetary thinking as a field, as one civilization pushes towards one, the others express others. So certainly the notion that you go from antiquity to medieval to modern is a kind of a linear progression. And the notion before was that cultures would give or get rid of their traditional ways of thinking, religion, etc. So that's the image of progress, which is important. Now, what that's missing is, of course, the cyclical dimension. The cyclical dimension always has been those who wait will one day have their time. Those who rise will one day fall. So the linear forgets that there's change. The cyclical, of course, becomes overly weighted, overly fatalistic.
What about bifurcation? Can you explain that one for us?
The notion of bifurcation is a bit different from linear and cyclical. The bifurcation notion is that we stand at a historical transitional period in human history, whether because of the ecological crisis, governance crisis, energy crisis, that there's, you have periods in history where you have windows, and in those windows we can make real choices. If we don't make these choices, then bad things can happen. So this might be, many consider, one bifurcation. Can we move to a global governance, a more sane environmental energy policy, or will we continue the old way?
One of the dichotomies at work here is the impact, of the, or I think you mentioned the weight of historical structures versus human agency. How much scope do we have to change the future?
No, that's always important to ask. Some people think you can do anything. I was watching Dr. Phil for a few minutes today, and he was talking to kids, and one of the kids said, why are some people poor and some people rich? And he just said, well, if you work hard, basically you'll get rich. Now, that's possibly true, but it misses structure, class, gender, it misses inequity. So there are deep structures to history. So merely having an image or merely agency working hard doesn't capture the full nature of reality. But of course, if you overly focus on weight and history, always trying to make things the same or always burdened, then your possibility for change decreases. If you look at, there's one historian, Fred Pollack, he has a book called The Pull of the Future. And he talks about, if you want a positive future, you have to have a sense of agency. I can do something, and a sense that the future will be bright, meaning I can do something and the future will be bright. Conversely, if your view is the future will be horrible and I can do nothing, you can imagine what that does to your personal immune system and the collective immune system. It's kind of, it leads to some type of suicide. So agency is important, but of course, you have to have some analysis there. You can't just think I can do anything I want. That just goes in kind of a timid and tamed human potential view of life.
One of the short-term challenges that you've written about that we face as human agents is this idea of a young third world and an old first world. Can you briefly comment on that for me?
Yeah, please? I mean, then in terms of thinking about the future, if you're mapping it and then looking at anticipating emerging issues, but also in terms of the macro history, what are the big trends, we also like to look at scenarios, to look at what are the alternatives. So clearly you have many types of scenarios. One is Fortress Europe, Fortress Australia, the kind of the gated notion that the demographic shift is such that some of the studies I've seen, and these are all questionable or they all need to be further analyzed, was that 1850, 50% of the world was Caucasian. In 2150, if current trends continue, it could be 3, 5, 7, 10%, certainly a lower percent. So in that type of situation, you suddenly have, if it's a dramatic demographic shift, what type of scenarios then result? Scenario one is fortress everywhere. Scenario two is you rethink the nature of the world beyond the kind of the official gaze, beyond how we see people, to what's most important.
You're listening to Perspectives with Mark Brader, and I'm talking to Dr. Sahail Inayatullah about future studies. Just finally, I wanted to ask you, what are some of the long-term predictions that have come out of these studies?
Well, one is, again, all predictions have to be seen that if current trends continue, and we always see trends change. In the macro history, if you have a linear pattern, there can be a cyclical change or a pendulum change. So right now we've had a 500 year of sensate capitalistic.
Sorry, what do you mean by sensate?
Sensate, where we define the world in terms of the empirical world, the material world, the senses. So one thing, if you look at Sorokin's work, he talks about you have these pendulum shifts where everything looks like it's going to keep on being more economic, more sensate-based, and suddenly you have a shift, an ideational shift, where the nature of the questions you ask become more spiritual, more about the nature of the mind. So that's one possible shift. My own sense is you have something called Gaia Tech, meaning very strong environmental ecological thinking linked with high digital thinking.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's a fascinating area, and I'm sure I could speak with you for another half an hour on it. Dr. Sahail Inayatullah, thank you for your time.
Thanks.